Hi, this is Warwick Davis, and you're listening to the Friday Filibuster.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Friday Filibuster. I am David Johnson, joined by Mac McIntyre.
Hack-a-do.
Yes, Occupy Mac, that's what I'm calling now. Eric Asherschlager.
Hello.
And returning for another special guest stint is Josh Rowe. Josh, how's it going?
Doing great, how are you guys?
Hey, not too bad. You know, welcome aboard, and since we haven't talked in a couple weeks, why don't you kick us off? Anything interesting to know? Have you seen anything that you'd like to report back on?
Well, yes, I happened to see a small movie that I can't remember the name of because my brain just...
Oh, hurt. That small, huh?
Yes.
So small.
Avatar, Star Wars.
Yes, tiny, tiny little movie.
You saw it on a molecular level?
I did. Good Lord. It's your favorite movie of all time.
Whoa.
Psycho Kickboxer.
Nice. Welcome to the club.
Thank you. I actually bought it off of Amazon for $1.50.
See, this is what I'm talking about. There's no reason why it should not be part of everyone's collection.
Exactly.
$1.50. Yeah, what'd you think? I've certainly hyped it up to Kingdom Come, and I got Dan Mancini going too, but what'd you think?
Well, maybe I got it hyped up too much. I was a little disappointed.
Well, it's a terrible movie.
Well... I wanted it to be more terrible. I mean, you've got the picture on the cover of the guy getting his head kicked off and blood splattering everywhere. That never happens.
That never happens. But
I know.
But a pedestrian squashes a guy's head just because he tried to, you know, he tried to carjack her. There's a full. How about that shotgun blast to the head?
You did get the shotgun blast that just erased the head. That was very cool. But then it was kind of downhill in terms of it from there. So I was a little disappointed. I thought it would be a little bit more schlocky, and I was really looking forward to that.
I'm not sure if such a movie exists.
We'll find out. I have Jim Cotta waiting in the ring, but
excellent.
I haven't had to watch it.
Okay, well, I guess a movie does exist then. So I still think Jim Cotta's Psycho Kickboxer doubleheader is where it's at. So, so you didn't get how about the Psycho Kickboxer being in place every time a small crime is committed?
Yeah. I especially like the kids doing the graffiti and he chases them off. That was awesome.
How about the Vietnam vet with the abandoned warehouse that looks like a Gold's Gym and, you know, has plenty of power and he's such a stereotype? How's that? That's pretty good, right?
Yes, I'd like to know how he got the money for all that. That is interesting. They don't explain these things, see?
Well, I'm glad you jumped on board. Regardless, I'm glad it's in your collection because the more people, the merrier, that's for sure.
I was promised I'd get a case of scotch from the old white man cabal.
Yeah, it's in the mail. Dan's a liaison this month. So he's the only one who can talk to him. It's like the Israelites in the Old Testament, only the high priest. You go in the Holy of Holies, so only Dan has that connection. If I even attempt communication, my family's dead. You understand that, right?
Absolutely.
All right, anything else? Anything more mainstream or not as awful?
Oh, no, it can't get any better than that.
It can't. You're right. So let's go to Mac then. Mac, what about you?
Let's see. Last week I caught the first episode of the show on, I think it's AMC, American Horror Story.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's FX, I think, actually.
Oh, FX, my bad.
The Glee guy, right? Ryan? No.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I didn't learn that till after the fact, but yeah, from the creators of Glee, of all things.
I think it's the opposite of Glee, in fact.
it was interesting. Of course, by the time this podcast airs, the second episode will be out.
But, wasn't the original title of the show Glum?
I believe it. It was interesting. It's, you know, it's a haunted house show. They're going to build a whole weekly series around a haunted house. They haven't addressed the "why don't you just move" question yet, so I'm hoping that'll come up sooner rather than later. But it was interesting. I wonder where they're going with it. It was kind of easy to pick out which characters were ghosts and which weren't, you know, unless they've got some huge surprises waiting for us in store. But, it was pretty dark, kind of a downer. But Jessica Lange, though, she's awesome in the show. She kind of steals the show right from everybody else, and she brought some dark humor to it, which is good. So, I don't know, I'm Was it the best show ever? Not so much, but I'm intrigued enough to watch it again and see where it's going.
Yeah, I caught it as well online. It's amazing how kind of freaky it is for a TV show. Maybe a little too much, and they kind of go overboard in trying to sell the insanely creepy factor, even to the point where it's edited in such a way where they'll just remove frames or add things in.
That's right. They're really trying to like push buttons with this show.
Yeah, which I mean, it works. I think I jumped in a few places, but I don't know if that's going to become too much if that's all the show is. They're definitely kind of going for that sort of Shining vibe, as far as as soon as they go into the house, all of a sudden they start experiencing these weird visions and hallucinations and things that are kind of taking over, it seems. But if you haven't seen it, it's the pilot's online. I definitely recommend people checking it out, at least just to see, because FX has certainly put out some good stuff. I'm a little afraid this is going to turn into more of like a Lights Out or Terriers, where they get one season and that's right.
Glee, for that matter. Yeah.
Well, I don't think there's any danger of this becoming Glee.
All the Glee fans talk about the drop off in quality from the second season. Yes. That's what I was going for.
Yeah. Well, Ryan Murphy also did Nip Tuck as well, so he definitely has an FX connection there. I never watched that show, but.
Well, I'll say this much for him. He's not subtle in anything he does.
No, this is not a subtle, show at all.
All right. So you'll be tuning in with that, man. How about you, Eric? What's happening?
Well, I talked to you, Dave, about this in email. I thought I'd mention it on the show. I watched the movie Troll Hunter on Netflix.
Yes, from our boys at Magnet, who are
very really great.
Released great stuff and put it on Netflix very quickly. So the
hats off. This is available on Netflix in HD, and if you have the rig to display it, I know the PS3 will do it. There's 5.1 surround sound, and this movie makes great use of it. But this is basically if you haven't heard of it, this is a Norwegian film. It's a fake documentary style. I guess not really a horror movie, but it's it definitely has its scary moments. But it's basically this group of college kids are out making a movie, I think, about poaching, like bear poaching, and they come across this guy who they kind of follow, and they kind of convince to let them come with him, and it turns out that he is a surprise troll hunter. Trolls exist in Norway. They're being kept secret by the government, and this guy is tasked with going out and taking care of ones that wander out of their territories or causing problems. And it's really cool. I mean, the way that they that they do the troll effects, part of it's done with sound, but when they actually show the trolls, it's because of the kind of handheld documentary style, they're able to kind of get away with some more low quality stuff. But it definitely makes the CGI I think feel more realistic. I think it reminds me a little bit of how cool and how scary the alien looked in Signs when it was in the home video footage.
Mm-hmm. And how great would that movie have been if they just ended it there?
Yeah, I mean that like so I mean it's sort of it, and this movie pretty much steers clear of the sin of showing too much of your CGI creature. It's all the trolls only come out at night, which is helpful, and so there's a lot of like night vision shots and stuff, and the troll designs are really cool. There's not a whole lot to the characters and stuff, but I definitely recommend it. They did a great job fleshing out the mythology of what would it be like if this were true. What would the government how would they react to it? What would they put in place? What are the physiological and ramifications of how trolls live and migrate and all this kind of weird stuff? So definitely check it out.
Very nice. Let's see, for me, not much happened. I haven't had too much time to see anything, but I guess a report on a couple shows that I've been tracking. Fringe, again, I know I talk a lot about Fringe, but it's delivering, I think, in its fourth season. So they're doing some interesting stuff. They're really playing around the mythology. It's still very much, right, they're still doing kind of mysteries of the week and touching on a larger mystery of the where is Peter... I just blanked on his last name, but Joshua Jackson character. I can't believe Peter Bishop, which is actually a pretty cool mystery, and they're doling that out nicely. And I mean, it really stands to me as that kind of that show that really. I don't know, Mac, you're an X-Files guy, right?
Oh, totally.
I mean, since the X-Files, has there really been any... I mean, to me, not being an X-Files guy, Fringe seems like it would take over that kind of spot, but has there anything been, you know, anything after X-Files that's really kind of gotten into that in paranormal, you know, wacky stuff going on, investigative, mythology-heavy show?
Hmm, good question. A lot of folks have tried, but
right.
I don't know if anyone's really taken off to get that X-Files vibe.
So it'd probably be fair to say Fringe, you know, may have slid into that category. So
yeah, well, there's certainly a lot of similarities. There's the FBI and there's
right.
freaky stuff, so, you know.
But it's going strong, and I'd still, again, heartily recommend it. And yeah, so that's just all my, that's my report. I haven't been able to get out to see anything, and I'm just jealous of Josh that he got to experience Psycho Kickboxer for the first time. I wish that was something I could replicate.
Hey, that would have been good. Yeah, I got to watch Fringe too, see, so we can share our jealousy of the other. Maybe when I get caught up on my Castle watch, you know, I'll start on Fringe.
Oh, that's yeah, right. You got to check off all these things. So.
Yeah.
Lots to check off. And then Twilight Zone for Eric and...
right.
I think what else you get stuck in? Barbie. You don't really watch a lot of Barbie.
Absolutely. Make sure you start from the beginning because there's a real the continuity is a real deep mythology.
That's right. That's
one
right.
By
well,
one.
Let's move on to what we've been working on for the site. So, Josh, back to you. Got anything cooking that you'd like to bring attention to?
Well, I got a Blu-ray that you will find familiar because you had the original one, I believe. It was The Punisher. The Marvel comic book adaptation from 2004.
Yeah, the Thomas Jane one. Yeah, I reviewed the DVD of that a long time ago, I think.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. What
did you think of that?
There was an extended cut between the two. And the thing I found really funny was that I read your review, and you did a wonderful job as usual.
But that's not going to get you any more voice time. Go ahead.
You had a whole huge list of extras that were on the regular DVD.
Uh-huh.
And then the extended cut had like two extras.
See, I hate that. I see that a lot in like these double dips. They ditch like the extras that they've already established.
Exactly. And then the Blu-ray, which you would think would just have extras out the wazoo, has nary a one, not any. So I thought that was really odd.
Yeah, it's a trend actually. Like I think the Blu-ray of Tombstone had because there was a Tombstone special edition that was pretty sexy. Had a lot of extras. Blu-ray didn't have any of those. I don't know if Master and Commander, I don't think they had any. So, like, yeah, they're just ignoring these established extras.
Yeah, the Die Hard just came out, and no extras, it's just the movie.
Really?
Yeah. And previously, the DVD was a two-disc set.
Yeah, that's bizarre. The movie itself, I rather enjoyed it. It was very violent, especially
yeah, it was.
The comic book movie. I think you pointed that out in your review several times. Some very interesting ways to die by knife.
Yes, that's true. He's very good with a knife. And I believe, like, boiling hot water plays a role, too, right?
Yeah, well, there was some sort of hot liquid thrown into a guy's face, yeah. It was all right. I put it a little bit above Spider-Man 2, which was the other 2004 Marvel movie. I would watch The Punisher over Spider-Man 2, given the choice.
Whoa, nice. Wow. That's really, that's a Dan Mancini position as well. He's not a fan. Did you see the follow up to that? The one with what's his face from Rome? I can't remember.
Yeah, Ray Winston.
Ray Winston. No. Ray Stevenson.
Oh,
yeah.
I got my Rays mixed up.
Yeah, Ray Winston.
That sounded familiar.
I didn't know it had a follow up.
Yeah, that one was that
Punisher Warzone.
Yeah, Warzone. That wasn't bad, but it was pretty violent. I mean, it was so, but violent still.
I guess I did see that title as I was doing the research on it, but I didn't really look at it.
Nice. So, last question, Punisher related. I've never seen this. You guys ever see the Dolph Lundgren Punisher movie?
A long time ago, yeah.
Really? I've never seen it. Is it any good?
Oh, really? It's pretty cheesy. It's kind of frustrating because there's no skull t-shirt. He's just dressed all in black.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah. But, there's a great bit where he's fighting a guy, and they both have golf clubs, and it's like they're sword fighting, but with golf clubs.
Well, they stole that from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That's right, that guy, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Mac, how about you? What do you got going on?
Oh boy. Well, I've got the second season of V, the new remake.
That's right.
Oh, the new one.
Yeah. And, you know, our good friend Judge Mike Rubino had this affliction where he knew V wasn't very good, but he kept watching it anyway.
That's right.
I've now come down with that same affliction. I don't know. I think that the producers, they were kind of seeing the writing on the wall as this.
I think it's called
season.
VD.
Yeah, there you go. they were seeing the writing on the wall because where the ratings were, even though they got a second season, the ratings were dropping. So there's kind of a lot of pandering to the fans with a lot of shout outs and callbacks to the 80s original, way more than there was in the first season. And a lot of, dare I say, fan service with all kinds of, you know, way more like sex than there was the first season. So I think they're trying to grasp at straws, trying to get people to tune in. But,
I think sex is actually called man service, and I think you don't have to be a fan of V to enjoy it.
the anime fans, they know all about the fan service.
So is that the last? Is that the last season of V?
I believe it is. Yes, I believe it got canceled, which is another disappointment because huge spoiler here, but the season finale just piles on one cliffhanger after the next. It's just crazy. It's like a whole bunch of characters get killed off and a whole bunch of new characters are introduced, and it's just, you know, they just...
It was a desperate ploy to get a next season. You
probably
have to give us a next season. Look, I'm leaving everyone hanging.
Probably. So, but honestly, you're not missing a whole lot. It's just kind of bloated event television.
Did you watch the old one back in the 80s? Or?
Yes, I did, yeah.
And was that better than this one?
I'm going to say yes. I mean, don't get me wrong, it was certainly cheesy enough, but, you know, with the original, you had the miniseries, so you had 4 hours. And the new series, they kind of took that entire 4-hour miniseries and tried to tell it in just the pilot. And so it's a total mess. It's like I said, there's probably, I've never seen a TV show that has as many, hey, wait a minute moments as V.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to your postmortem when that,
that's right.
when that comes up. All right, Eric, how about you?
All right, well, it sounds like I got a better alien invasion thing this week. I'm reviewing Attack the Block on Blu-ray. Yeah, which got a crazy amount of internet like hype over the summer. It was like everywhere. It was like, you have to see Attack the Block.
I was resistant to the hype, so I'm interested in your take.
It's a lot of fun. I mean, it really is a good movie. I mean, I think that... it may have been a little overblown just because people wanted to support it, but I think that as it is just a super solid, fun kind of a adventure movie that does some new things with the alien invasion, you know, kind of movie. It takes place in inner city London, and the heroes of the movie are these street punks who we initially meet when they're mugging a woman. So it's, you know, they're kind of your unconventional protagonists to begin with, and then they're kind of the only ones who can basically, you know, halt this these aliens that are landing in their neighborhood and kind of drive them back. And it really kind of owes a lot to, you know, a lot of the kind of 80s adventure movies that we grew up on, you know, like Goonies and Ghostbusters and Gremlins and probably even to some degree E.T., although this one has more fangs. Except this one is sort of like it's a movie made for the people who love those movies now that they've grown up. So it's not, this is not for kids at all. This is, you know, a lot of language, a lot of violence, some pretty gruesome stuff in it too. But it definitely has that same vibe, just with a little bit more of an edge. And the young actors are all unknowns. They're great. Nick Frost plays has a small role, and he's, you know, he's funny. But it's not a comedy in the same way that, you know, Shaun of the Dead or Hot Fuzz is. Edgar Wright did executive produce, but it sounds like his involvement was maybe a little bit more advisory. He wasn't really hands on. It's really cool, and the way they do the alien effects is really neat because they. It's all practical for the most part, which is cool. But they have these the aliens are sort of these kind of gorilla bear type creatures, like the big kind of loping furry creatures with glowing blue teeth. And what they did was they had these these actors, movement actors, you know, in the suits playing them, And then what they did was they went in and used CGI to remove all of the kind of light and shadow from the fur, so they're just jet black. They sort of use like a rotoscoping effect, and it makes for a really cool cool effect. So, yeah, I think it's I think it's well worth watching. I think and anyone who is on or listens to this podcast would probably get some kind of kick out of it. So,
all right, very good. Nothing nearly as interesting as any of the stuff you guys just mentioned for me, but The Howling Reborn.
Whoa. Yes.
Oh, boy. Yeah, talk about a franchise that nobody cared about. So
the first one's really good.
Yeah. The second one had, like, Sybil Danning and, like, bodacious 80s Euro trash cleavage, I remember. And after that, it just kind of goes downhill. But, I mean, really, this is just another, you know, teenage angst horror movie. You know, I mean, really. So kid is a werewolf and he has a crush on a girl who's dating a jerk, and he turns into a werewolf, beats up the, you know. So in my review, I just said it's pretty much like a middle schooler's composition notebook fan fiction. And I wish I had werewolf powers so they're pretty good with Damien. I could beat the crap out of her boyfriend's meat. But it's rated R, which is weird because it's got PG-13, you know, all over it, and even the R rating isn't even that used to get such great effect. So I don't know. It's a lame movie without an audience. So how's that for a ringing endorsement? So
how old is it?
That's new. It's a new movie.
Oh.
The kid from Terra Nova's in it, and like a girl who's in a bunch of Nickelodeon and family ABC Family shows is in it, and that's about all I can tell you.
Is it the iCarly?
No, not the iCarly girl. So, and that's all I can tell you.
It's got to be an interesting career crossroads for a young actress. Huh?
Going from iCarly to the Howling Reborn, yeah.
Do I do the Nickelodeon show, or do I do the Howling 5?
That's right, yeah.
Well, they got to break free from that whole kid actor vibe, so they got to go the Hannah Montana route and just completely do it reverse.
That's right. Go against type. So, well, too bad it sucks anyway. All right, so, Mac, why don't you take us onward and upward?
All right, we're going to take a look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray, and everybody listening at home can play along. We are going to go to DVDverdict.com, click on the upcoming DVD releases tab. And from there, we're going to scroll down to the cover art gallery for October 18th. Just talk about what's on the list here.
Now, Mac, actually, tell me about Batman Year One. What is that?
That is a direct-to-DVD and direct-to-Blu-ray animated feature based on the classic Frank Miller graphic novel.
Now, that looks all kinds of awesome. Have you heard any buzz?
I know the trailers are all over the internet and stuff. It doesn't look exactly like the graphic novel. Looks like it's not quite as dark, and they've added a lot more action to it. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing or not, we'll have to wait and see. But it's some great source material they got going, so I'm kind of in a wait-and-see state myself, but I do look forward to checking it out.
And the DC direct-to-DVD movies tend to be pretty good, right?
In my opinion, yeah. Others are kind of mixed, but the ones that I've seen, I've enjoyed.
All right.
You see, your dream come true has finally come to pass. The Goonies on Blu-ray.
Well, that has been out. That's been out for a while, right?
Has it?
Yeah, there's like a super special edition, too. So this must be just yet another re-release, probably with all the extras stripped out.
It's like a reissue, yeah.
We make it easier for consumers by letting them focus just on the movie.
That's right.
None of those pesky bonus features. The muddle.
Amazon's a little confused. It says directed by Josh Brolin.
Wow.
I knew
Break
I could tell
news.
Was, yeah. Wow, what a cover up. The biggest cover up in Hollywood history. There's Green Lantern, right? A movie I've been excited about and just got turned off by the reactions. I never
really? Yeah. I was a little disappointed. It was really a, you know, paint by numbers origin story.
Yeah.
Not really offering anything we've never seen before.
Yeah, that's disappointing.
Looks like there's a direct-to-DVD Howling sequel.
Yeah.
Wait to hear something about that.
It's actually
great.
What's that? Would you say, Josh?
I said I bet it's great.
I'm sure it is. I'll see if I can dig up some reactions to it for you. Now, speaking of Magnet, I think this is a Magnet. Yeah, it's a Magnet release. The Last Circus. How freaky does that look?
Yeah, that would certainly be the Last Circus I would ever attend.
Hey, honey, we're going to the Last Circus.
Well, it's a clown with an Uzi in each hand. He's shooting them while smiling.
Yeah.
I don't know. Can the movie itself actually live up to that image?
Maybe.
I'm just wondering how they got a high def camera into my nightmares.
Clown on the top right. He looks especially fun. Yeah, let's look at that Pirates of the Caribbean set. I mean,
there's a four movie set there that comes in its own little pirate chest.
Wow.
Yeah. I should just call it the Booty Edition or something like that. That's what I'd call it.
That would be good.
You should have. You're going to get that, and then they're going to come out with the inevitable sequel, and then it won't be...
That's right.
You know, I'll get the next one.
Although I think Gigolos took the Booty Edition from... Another Hellraiser movie? Is that new?
I think that's a new one, yeah. It was some other guy playing Pinhead.
Yeah, keep him coming. That's... See this movie Free Runner?
I did see that, yeah.
No idea, but I'm a fan of the Parker stuff. I've seen in other action movies. It's a lot of fun. It's pretty cool, so I don't know. Who knows? Maybe it's terrible, but the font is great. It's like angled, and that's always been something great.
We have Kevin Smith's new movie, Red State, which might still be in theaters in some part of the country.
That's right, yeah. Don't know much about it.
Well, it's something new for him. It's something of a thriller, so...
Right.
Beyond that, I don't know much about it.
Hey, Captain America! In Captain America 2, they already came out with a sequel. Ah.
Which one is that?
That is the TV, the made-for-TV movies from the 70s.
I bet they're great.
Starring the guy from Space Mutiny.
That means nothing to me.
Mystery Science Theater fans know him, and all the funny names they gave him.
How about, look at this sweet Willy Wonka set. Talking about peering into my nightmares.
Yeah, I think that one comes with obviously a golden ticket and like an art book and a bunch of stuff.
And a centipede that you can have crawl across your face.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, well, actually a lot of stuff compared to last week. This is kind of loaded, so... Feel free to peruse, purchase, and support DVD Verdict. So, gentlemen, inadvertently sleazy-sounding DVD release of the week. Josh, why don't you go first? What do you see?
Oh, I'm going to go with Godseed.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy. That's the correct answer, but it doesn't mean we're not going straight at all. Eric, how are you?
I'll go with Down in the Delta.
All right, Mac.
I'm not quite sure what this means, but I'm going to go with The Pigeon Finds a Hot Dog.
That might be the winner. Right,
I think it's pretty obvious what that means, actually. Pretty much ambiguity there.
Yeah, because I got nothing. The best I got is American Pickers. I don't even know what that is. I just wanted to say American Pickers.
We watch that show sometimes.
Do you really? Is that
yeah.
Oh, nice. Is it like hoarders or like they go through dumps? Or something?
No, it's like a couple guys who go out and go to people's barns, find things that they can resell, old antiques and stuff.
It's like Pawn Stars, right?
Except they go out and find the stuff. You know, it's like extreme bargain hunting, Dave.
Nice.
I figure that's a way that I can explain it that you will understand.
It does. I need those in that context. Old 80s, or 60s board games. All right, very good. So, ambush topics, random topics we throw at each other. I'll go first. The talk of the town here in New England is how the Red Sox have imploded, and it's just getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And so, collapses. So, things that collapse. There you go. Taking a lead from the Red Sox. Things that, scenes of collapses are collapsing.
On the tangent of your first subject, the Cardinals are winning, last I heard.
Well, there you go. I'm glad someone can get joy out of baseball.
Yeah.
So, again, this is stuff falling down.
Has anyone ever done that in a movie before? I'm trying to think.
No. Never heard of it. All right, I'll go first. I got the building that got destroyed in the middle of the city in... That stupid Dana Carvey movie. Do you guys remember that one?
Wow.
Dana Carvey.
Dana Carvey was in a movie on a budget large enough to blow up a building.
Was that The Master of Disguise?
Was it? Because that no,
I don't know. That's the only one I know.
Opportunity Knocks, it was called. Wow. And he was a con man, and he conned these guys, these mob guys who were out to get him to knock down a building that they weren't really supposed to knock down.
Wow.
You guys will have to check that movie out.
No, I will not.
It really wasn't too bad, except that he used it as an opportunity to do his George Bush.
I've never heard that one. Yeah.
Yeah, but other than that, it actually was a surprisingly fun movie.
Wow. Yikes. Well, points awarded to you, Josh, for bringing up a Dana Carvey movie. And extra points to Eric for bringing up The Master Disguise, which I remember watching the trailers thinking that it looks like the worst movie I've ever watched.
Just to be fair, I've never seen it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I just know that it exists.
It does exist.
I don't want to hurt my cred.
talking about, you know, bloated event television, a few weeks ago, I reviewed The Event for the verdict here.
That's right.
And there was a scene late in the series after everyone had stopped watching when the villains of the show, who were not supposed to call them aliens, even though they're from outer space. No, don't call them aliens. They use their super high technology, whatever it is, to implode the Washington Monument to send a message to the rest of the world. And we see it in all its multi-billion-dollar CGI glory just before the show was canceled.
They blow up the Washington Monument and it falls down?
Yeah, well, no, it implodes. It falls straight down into like a giant sinkhole.
Oh.
In fact, they that's how they destroy a lot of buildings in that show, by creating giant sinkholes.
Fair enough.
It's an event.
It is an event. I was totally trying to think of an impotency thing, and I couldn't think of a joke that would really work. She might be falling over. Anyways. Yeah. So okay, I'm gonna go back to go back to a well I go to from time to time. We're going to a very Brady Christmas.
Ah,
the made-for-TV movie, which ends with a building that Mike is working on, part of it collapsing, trapping him inside.
Really?
Yeah. And they sing some Christmas song, and he comes out.
Wow!
Oh, I guess I don't have to watch
that. Magic of Christmas.
Spoiler alert! Mike Brady doesn't die in the movie Very Brady Christmas.
Spoiler! It is, because they're obviously going for tension, right?
Well, of course, in a Very Brady Christmas 2, he dresses as Santa Claus, climbs down the chimney, breaks his neck, and they find it a couple days later. Oh, wait, that was Gremlins. Sorry.
All right, go straight forward. Another building collapse in The Dark Knight when they blew up the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty nice, ornate explosion. You know, actually did it. I guess
it was that's practical, right?
Yeah, practical. Something they actually brought down. So.
It doesn't sound very practical to me, though. You know what I mean? I mean, there has to be a better way. Can't you just talk it out?
All right, well, Eric, why don't you take the next one? What do you got?
All right. How did I wear this? Characters who get from place to place inexplicably fast.
Oh, good lord.
Jack Bauer. I win. Next one.
I thought it, but I thought, no, I'll let someone else say it.
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember which season. All of them, I suppose.
But there was one. It was either season one or two. Three or four.
It was the one where he was in the, like, he made it from the sewer to the top of a building, or like building, sewer, freeway, car, or something, and hit all those. Within 2 real-time minutes.
So. Well, he only had 24 hours. He had to stop.
I know. And I guess he peed down his leg as he was running it, but still. All right, plus, see what he made. Actually, the best one was when he got kidnapped and he was halfway to China. Right. On a,
right.
A freighter. All within like 45 seconds. So, yeah.
He's probably prepared. I'm sure he's got a permanent catheter.
That's right.
Of course, how about Jason from the Friday the 13th series?
Yeah, for a mentally challenged, right, guy who was drowned, he moves pretty quickly, right?
Yeah, well the cliche is that, you know, he's very, very slowly chasing the horny teenager as she runs through the woods. And she's running, and she's running, and she's running, and he's just very slowly lumbering after her.
Right.
And then she thinks she's gotten away, and she turns around, and there he is, he's right in front of her. So... in the direction that she was running, nonetheless. So, the fans call that the Jason teleportation.
Oh, nice.
That's a handy skill to have.
Yes.
I'm going to go with a movie that I reviewed early on for the site called Empire of Assassins. And it's kind of a different way to look at it because it's really all about really bad editing as opposed to the characters really moving.
Okay.
So the big climatic battle between these two guys, they start inside a building, and then they're somehow on top of the building with no transition whatsoever, and then they're on the ground under some trees, again without transition, and then it was nighttime and it's suddenly daylight, and they're in a canyon several miles away, and five other people have shown up and joined the fight out of nowhere, and the guys have changed outfits, so that was some pretty fast moving for them.
Are you sure you weren't just watching the trailer?
Yeah, it was the climatic battle.
Were they like those quick change guys in the half times of hockey, you know, basketball games, whatever?
They must have been.
All right, Eric, what's yours?
All right. Well, I just recently saw for the first time Child's Play.
Oh, yeah. All right, yeah, that doll can move, right?
I don't know how. I mean, if you've ever seen a little movie called Toy Story 2, you know that it takes like 20 minutes for toys to cross a street covered by traffic. I don't know how a 3-foot-tall doll, whether he talks or not, can make it like halfway across the city, but no one, you know, raised eyebrows. Like, it's amazing.
It is.
Of course, I have to say there are probably more than a few plot holes and head-scratching moments in that movie, which is not very good, but that's one of the things that really stuck out. Even the kid at the end, when he gets from, like, he runs away from the mental hospital, spoilers for Child's Play, and because the doll is chasing him, and his mom says, oh, he knows if he's in trouble, he has to go home, and then all of a sudden he's home.
Nice.
I don't know how the kid gets from there to there. There are problems with that movie, Dave, is what a friend said.
I understand.
I think he borrowed Jason's teleporter.
It was not going from there.
Although I will say this, the serial killer who transfers his soul into Chucky.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know the guy's name. I never seen him.
Brad Dourif.
Yeah, yeah. He's the doctor on Deadwood, and he's awesome.
Excellent.
So.
And it's pretty easy. It's surprisingly easy to transfer your soul into a doll, too. You know,
it's just a chant. And then the guy who taught him how to do it is surprised that he used it for evil.
Shockingly.
I thought you were going to use it to transfer the soul of that chalupa into that bagel. I didn't. I had nothing for that. I don't know what you do, but good. That's the thing. I don't know how you.
Use chalupa's fun. Chalupa's a good word.
Chalupa's a great word. I'm saying chalupa. Transfer the joy of saying the word chalupa.
Yes.
To the drudgery of saying the word bagel is what
that works. I think that works better. The synergy there.
You might be onto something there. A chalupa bagel doesn't sound too bad.
I know, right? Someone call Taco Bell.
From the commercials I've seen, they will do anything. So you have to call.
Do they have an official breakfast sandwich? Because
there you go.
Oh. I don't know.
Eggs, bacon, and chalupa.
All right, Josh, what do you got?
Characters who are known by their first names only.
Good. Like in the movies or
in pop
culture?
Movie.
Okay, in the movies, all right.
First
name. I just mentioned Jason, so
that's a good one.
There again.
No, that's a good point, yeah.
Does Pinhead have a last name?
I think it's Morgan, actually.
Hey, it's Pinhead Jones. I'll keep on the horror train, I guess. Freddy, right? Everyone's
good.
Sure. Pretty obvious. We'll go with that one.
First names. Because I thought of MacGyver first, but that is, of course, his last name. Not his first name. How about... Because you took Freddy.
Yeah.
And you took Pinhead.
That's right.
It's not a real thing, but still. Chucky. How about Chucky?
That's good.
Ooh.
It's Chucky thing.
Well, his actual name, though, as we all know, is Charles Lee Ray.
Yes, that's right. Charles. But he goes by Chucky.
He goes by a nickname counts. Sure.
That's right. It does count.
That was fun.
Yeah, go for it. Lightning round. Go ahead.
What?
Yeah, your turn, I think.
Yes, yes. I was going with Mr. Josh from Lethal Weapon. You guys remember him?
Who's that?
Fresh memory. Yeah.
Mr. Josh was the bad guy who...
Gary Busey?
Yeah, Gary Busey.
Yeah, Joshua, right.
Mr. Joshua, fight in the end. I hate Gary Busey.
Yeah, the worst, the fight that hurts my eyes the worst. I mean, that's one of the helicopter light and it's raining and it's really difficult to pick out all the action, but I don't know.
It wasn't the most exciting kickboxing sort of fight.
It wasn't.
Like crawling around on the ground and legs locked up and things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I got a real one. How about Jay from Jay and Silent Bob?
That's good.
We never even get his last name.
Yeah. And Silent Bob, right?
As you say, Bob kind of counts too.
Yeah. All right, Mac, why don't you wrap it up?
Okay. Well, watching American Horror Story, the family finds a freaky secret hiding in the house's attic. So let's go with scenes that take place in an attic.
Do these have to be movies?
Movie, TV, video game.
Oh. In that case, I'll go
dream,
with
whatever.
I'll go with the Simpsons, the Halloween episode where they had the secret in the attic and the kids weren't allowed to go up there, and it turned out to be Bart's twin brother who was evil, so they kept him locked in the attic.
Right.
And then it turned out that Bart was actually the evil one. There's a spoiler alert for you.
Whoa, another spoiler alert. We're going to get hate mail today, boys.
There's a great bit in that one when Dr. Hibbert holds up the mirror so the twin can look at himself for the first time. But it's just an empty frame, and he just punches through it and knocks the kid out.
I'm going to go with anything George Bluth does up in his attic.
Yes.
Tons to do. The hot tub. Cooking dinners in the hot tub, setting up the tea party, asking the dolls which one wants to take their top off. I've got Pop-Pop in the attic, videotaping his manifesto, giving it to Tobias on the mini VHS, and he tries to put it to the main VHS, which for some reason makes me laugh all the time. So, wearing the perfume of his son's dead wife. So lots of great stuff.
I think we'll go back to the Brady Bunch.
Good.
There's the whole thing about how Mike moved up to the or not
yes.
Mike, Greg moved up to the attic, and that was his.
You thinking groin attic. Pains?
No.
It happens a lot.
Brady Bunch.
So did they end up sharing? Did he end up sharing a room with Marsha or not? That was in the movie.
Oh, that was in the movie. That's right. I'm thinking of it from the movie, right?
Well, it works. It still works.
No. Apparently, there's a Brady Bunch episode called "A Room at the Top" from season 4, episode 23.
Nice.
Which leads to a battle of the sexes to see whether Greg or Marshall will get the room.
No one saw that one coming.
Always a battle of the sexes up in Brady.
That's right. A battle of sexes and there's no toilet anywhere to be found. Maybe that's why everyone's so uptight. Right? All right, Mac, take us away. What's yours?
All right. I'll go with Edward Scissorhands, who lived in the most gigantic attic you could ever imagine.
That's right.
And in a tiny little cubbyhole inside the giant attic. And, of course, more spoilers, he returns there at the end of the movie where he does his magical ice sculptures. And I'm so sick to death of people complaining about not knowing how he got all the ice up there at the end of the movie.
Is that a hot trending topic?
It is.
I've never heard that before.
The two people who complain about the movie.
Google News is on fire right now? Okay.
People who complain about the movie always have two complaints. One, they don't know what year it takes place, to which I respond, it's a fantasy.
Yeah.
And two, they always complain about how'd he get all that ice up there, to which I respond, it's a mad scientist castle. Who knows what kind of crazy doohickeys are in there that he could have operated to make ice and move it around. So,
these are the same people who think that Rapunzel's hair would just weigh her head down so much that there's no way her hair could possibly be that long in real life.
Probably, yeah. Even though that was magic hair that glowed when she sang, I don't know.
Now, is it in the attic? Isn't it where he got his stab on and sent Anthony Michael Hall flying out the window, right?
Yeah, that was sweet.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Well, on that note of violence, thank you for listening to Friday Filibuster. Friday Filibuster at dvdverdict.com is our email. And Mac, take us away.
There's no fighting in here. This is the war room.